Welcome to the Rappers Over 30 podcast, hosted by yours truly, Imp the Great. This is podcast episode number 21. An optimist is a person who sees a green light everywhere, while a pessimist sees only a red stoplight. The truly wise person is colorblind. Albert Schweitzer. La 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 la. Keep your head up in these heightened, trifling times. Get your bread up. Haters got me writing these rhymes. I know you fed up. Believe them when they show you them signs. But never let up or look back. Keep your eye on the grind. Just keep your head up in these heightened, trifling times. Get your bread up. Haters got me writing these rhymes. I know you fed up. Believe them when they show you them signs. But never let up or look back. Keep your eye on the grind. It could be the slime next to you or the dime that's having sex with you. Lying, cheating, eating ass, and fucking why she texting you. Talking about I love you, but then say I you, stress you out, mess you up. This shit happens to thugs too. No one's immune to the fuck shit. I know some goons that fuck shit. Now they serving life in jail. She was on some fuck shit. Get your shit together, man. It's gonna rain as weather, man. In these days and time, love hard to find like never, never land. Get out the bed and stand up. Smile and raise your hand up. Repeat these words, keep these words attached to you like handcuffs. When they show me, I believe them. They don't love me, I don't need them. And Lord, give me the strength to keep my focus and my freedom. You two steps away from greatness. Just know a lot of people gonna hate this. Just know you gotta go, go, go so hard. Forsake it, but chase your dreams and make your dreams come true and always say this. Keep your head up in these heightened, trifling times. Get your bread up. Haters got me writing these rhymes. I know you fed up. Believe them when they show you them signs. But never let up or look back. Keep your eye on the grind. Just keep your head up in these heightened, trifling times. Get your bread up. Haters got me writing these rhymes. I know you fed up. Believe them when they show you them signs. But never let up or look back. Keep your eye on the grind. More people, more problems. They need you, no problem. You need them, can't reach them. That door keep evolving. Yeah, you keep evolving. Don't let them keep carving. All statues you make like Picasso speak foreign. They don't understand you. Won't blow out your candles. It's time to move on. They worn out like sandals. Your circle's a dot now. I'm crabbing a pot now. A cooking, good looking. Cause they really hot now. Don't look back or feel bad. You got it real bad. About helping your people. But you got it real bad. Gotta take care of yourself first. Your life and your health first. Be honest and promise that you'll get your wealth first. Don't look down, just look up. No sad frowns, no hookups. Just eating good now. Off the plan you cooked up. My message is simple. Don't fuck with the crafty. I went back to help them and that's where they stabbed me. Keep your head up in these heightened, trifling times. Get your bread up. Haters got me writing these rhymes. I know you fed up. Believe them when they show you them signs. But never let up or look back. Keep your eye on the grind. Just keep your head up in these heightened, trifling times. Get your bread up. Haters got me writing these rhymes. I know you fed up. Believe them when they show you them signs. But never let up or look back. Keep your eye on the grind. You are now listening to the Rappers Over 30 podcast. We support, motivate, and encourage rappers over 30 to stay healthy, relevant, and successful.
Podcasting from a home studio somewhere in Los Angeles County, this is the Rappers Over 30 podcast, and here's your host, Imp the Great.
Welcome to the Rappers Over 30 podcast, episode number 21. I'm your motivational host, Imp the Great, but you can call me Imp. Yeah, happy Thursday, y'all. We back again. Give it up. Yeah. Shout out to all the listeners, all of the special guests we had on the show. Look, the song you just heard is called Keep Your Head Up.
and that's by yours truly, Yemp the Great. Keep your head up, y'all. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, if you enjoy this podcast and you'd like to make a contribution to the podcast, you can do so via the Cash App by sending contributions to $Rappers Over 30. That's Cash App, $Rappers Over 30, all one word. Or you can send a PayPal contribution to From Rap to Film. PayPal, a contribution to From Rap to Film. Also, be on the lookout for our upcoming film, Evil Justice. We're going to keep this party going, y'all. Let's get into some more music. This is Care Less by Forever the Realist.
Yeah. Forever. I could care less. I care less. Yo, I give two fucks, put my middle finger up while I roll one up. Less about the car that you drive, roll up with my squad, that's me, myself, and I. I could care less about what you doing, or give two fucks about who you screwing. I could care less if you own one, step in my space, make you know one. These dudes' pants getting tighter than mine, portray a gangster in these streets, man, time to resign, the thirst is real. Steady trying to quench on my juice, but I karate chop these fellas left to right like I'm Bruce Lee. Ooh-wee, stay the fuck out my face, kissing a broke-ass dude with some dirty-ass shoes and some nasty stained nails. Persistent trying to run game, Instagram and your real life is not the same scene. Every time that you go out, you wear the same jeans, but when it comes to the bills, you ain't got a damn thing. But I see you got them diamonds and carrots in your chain, with a hand full of ass, another hand full of cash. I sit back and just laugh with these jokes that you have. Chris Angel in these streets with illusions, thinking that you winning but you losing. Attitude through the lens while I'm cruising. I care less, yo, I give two fucks, put my middle finger up while I roll one up. Less about the car that you drive, roll up with my squad, that's me, myself, and I. I could care less about your shoes, bitch, or how you rock your 20 inches. I could care less how long I knew you, cross me one time, screw you. I see you, girl, looking all bitter, searching for a babysitter just to go out. Got your EBT, it's time to show out. Always got your throat out, shaking them drawers and keeping dick in them jaws. You was perfect on them pictures, but you show up with flaws, with them thighs all dented. Came to pick them up, you wouldn't get in. Bought you a drink, he probably spinning. Hit it one time, got you grinning. But you don't cook, don't clean, just come lick. Mad cause you get the voice, no, he found a new chick. Get your life is running off with the birds. Too stingy with my bread, you can starve on my words. Counting this money, cause I'm real with my verbs. And I stay on top, high like some herbs. I'm alive and I'm really living. Them other girls alive, screwing up, grave digging. Committing suicide cause they caught in their feelings. But I could care less, me, I'm chilling. I could care less, me, I'm chilling. I could care less about this and less about that. Even less about who you are and where you really at. Say no more. Say no more. Yeah, cause I could care less. Yeah, cause I could care less. I could care less about what you're doing, or give two fucks about who you're screwing. I could care less if you own one, step in my space, make you know one. I could care less about your shoes, bitch, or how you rock your 20 inches. I could care less how long I knew you. Cross me one time, screw you.
Yeah, cross me one time. Y'all already know I'm through with you. That was Care Less by Forever the Realist. She's a rapper, school teacher. She hosts the podcast show Stuck at a Green Light, which is available every Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For more information on Forever the Realist, visit her website, foreverglitterbox.com. That's foreverglitterbox.com. Foreverglitterbox.com. Stick around for my conversation with her. Right now, let's get into some more music. This is Gimme the Money.
Yeah. Let's get it.
Stop the bullshit. Got no time to fall in love with a dick. I'm all about paper that stack real quick. Diamond belts on my hip. Stubborn little mama, I ain't giving no lip. Zip, but just enough to be pleased with them D's and his dollars up. Cutie pie named Isaac, met him where the strippers at. Now we swing in a sack, bringing tips right back. Back at
a quarter to 12 a.m. Kasuli, gotta style my nails. You know I gotta stay dressed to impress. Louis V jeans with the ice rollie necklace. Got the fellas on stunt when they look at my chest. Bitches hoping I'm a nigga pulling next to the left. We don't turn up the game and a turning light. I'm forever, forever about to change the game. What? Isn't that funny, funny? This dude gave me some money. Cause he said I'm cute and got a nice, nice body, body. What isn't this? What isn't this funny, funny? How I could use this dummy? Thinking I love you, hell no, nigga, give me the money. Hey, now I like your style. Damn, you look good, I'm focused now. Design cut lined out the image of a maze. Gave good directions, maze led between my legs. Thought I was getting dick, only got licking. Cutie didn't even spit, swallowed all of it. Job well done, gave a light breath, yawn. Said, liquor's almost gone, send them straight for the sun. Look, I put it like this. I provide the clitoris, nigga, you need this. I could be nice or I could be selfish. Mind matter of a flow could get them thoughts in a twist. I could simp, act like my feelings all men. Tell you what you wanna hear to lose the money clip. Lamborghini doors pulled up on the bit. Doing what you can in the pit to get the booty bent. Isn't that?
Isn't it funny though?
Isn't that funny, yeah. Funny? This dude gave me some money. Cause he said I'm cute and got a nice, nice body. Body. What isn't this? What isn't this funny, funny? How I could use this dummy? Thinking I love you, hell no, nigga, give me the money. Clean cut brother, looking real jazzy. Said he'd do anything, he had to have me. He was old enough to be my damn daddy. So I called him daddy and he tricked out my Chevy. 20 inch fenders with a chromed out fender. Ticker bear interior, TVs, no antenna. 60 miles dipping down Crenshaw Boulevard. Varieties of cute faces, flossing advertised cars. What? Do your thing, nigga. Do your thing. Rub a car club or fit the gang bang. Profit from this thing or gang from dope slang. Go hard on a chick, we'll flip the same game. Pussy is power like money and cocaine. Got the potency to make a man wanna profit me. Change his personality to power a pussy. Isn't that funny, funny? This dude gave me some money. Cause he said I'm cute and got a nice, nice body, body. What isn't this? What isn't this funny, funny? How I could use this dummy? Thinking I love you, hell no, nah, nigga, give me the money.
Private party. but the homies try to hijack my privacy. See, I'm lost, love, I don't know you, and I don't know what I'm gonna do. They taking charge like they the FBI. Inside, I feel like I'm going to cry. This happened before, but I refuse to stop. My hustle calls me to stay on top. My purse is fat, my wallet swell, but my soul feel like it's in hell too.
With all the finer things, cars, clothes, diamond rings. It's this material world and this material dream. No ordinary girl in this material world. More than me and what you see. Lifestyle ruining.
Yeah, that was Material World, preceded by Give Me the Money. Both songs are by Forever the Realist. Today's guest is a Los Angeles-based rapper, podcast host, school teacher, and the granddaughter of the late William Blackula Marshall. She's starring in the movie Death by Association. Her podcast show, Stuck at a Green Light, promotes black-owned businesses, and it gives awareness and solutions to issues in the black and brown community. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, please put your hands together and enjoy my conversation with Forever the Realist. Okay, we live here, y'all. I got Forever the Realist here on the Rappers Over 30 podcast. So you want to introduce yourself? Let's break the ice. You know, we just met and everything. We chop it up a little bit, but let's let the Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners know who you are, what you do, and then we'll get a little bit more deeper into things.
But what's going on, y'all? My name is Forever the Realist, okay? I am from L.A., and it's a pleasure to be here, you know, on the Rappers Over 30, you know what I mean? We getting it popping, and it is a definite pleasure to meet you, and I am ready, okay? Let's get it.
So all the listeners out there, me and a young lady, we met. Actually, we met last night. My boy Dizmos hooked us up on a some type of Facebook video program. He invited me to watch her Stuck at a Green Light show, and her show promotes black-owned businesses. And she's showing some love to the black and brown community. It's every Monday at 8 p.m. So you a podcast host? Is that considered a podcast? What you're doing there?
It's a funny thing because I wanted to do a podcast, and then I got with someone who did podcasts as a profession, and she was expressing that a podcast, like you put on podcasts, you know, platforms, and it's like just the audio. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, you know, I like to do the video thing, so I guess I'm gonna call it a show. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. So it's a Facebook live show, YouTube live show, or you could just put it as a live show. So, you know, it's live. There's no editing, no pre-recording. It's right on the spot. It gets recorded right then and there. And then it's uploaded on YouTube and Facebook.
How long have you been doing the show?
Yes, well, I started the show February. Black History. It was the first day of February.
And is it a weekly show? You do one every week?
I do one every week, every Monday. I call it Mayhem Monday. Mm-hmm. You know how people have, you know, Taco Tuesday. You know, the whole little Taco Tuesday. Oh, today is, you know, Grandma Day, Cousins Day. You know, I just took over Monday and called it Mayhem Monday. It's time to turn up. I'm to, you know, join the community, be you. I want everybody to be them, you know, so I always encourage to get your relaxations, whatever that is, you know. And it's a community that I'm building of education, dialogue, and just, you know, motivation. And then with the promotion of people who are, you know, entrepreneurs. Everybody has been stuck at a green light, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? And what I mean by stuck at a green light is like, literally when you stuck at a green light in traffic, it's very, very, very like frustrating. And sometimes with people, it's not, it's just something that happens. That green light in this show is, you know, the opportunities and things that you were not able to do because of whatever was going on in your life. And then it also goes towards, you know, the Black and brown community and the stereotypes that we face. Like, I'm tired of us pointing the finger saying, oh, how people treat us. I'm really not feeling the way we treat each other.
Amen. Amen. My podcast has a similar thing, you know, where we, on mine, I talk about killing Willie Lynch syndrome in the Black community. And I think that's very similar. Yeah. Killing Willie Lynch syndrome, because of, yes. like I'm the same way. I think we are our own worst enemy, and some people might not like that, but yeah. You know, that's the way I look at it. When I was upstairs, I was playing your music and I was trying to get ready for this. And I don't know if it was something you said, but it made me think about, God damn it. I'm just kind of losing my train of thought here. It made me think about Nipsey Hussle and the guy that killed him. And I said, you know, for all the people, when you say you love somebody after he died, and everybody loved Nipsey. So you got to still think it's a lot of positive people out here right now that's doing something and doing good. So you can't be sitting around people plotting and planning or talking dirty about someone you know that's a good person. And I've spoke about that before on my podcast. So that's what I mean when I say killing Willie Lynch syndrome. We got to stop a lot of the snaking, a lot of killing our leaders, a lot of hate, a lot of, you know, you coming into somebody's business with a hidden agenda, hidden a plan. You saying you're on the team, but really you got something else. So we got to flush out a lot of these type of people. But so, yeah, we got a lot in common. I like that when I was reading your bio about, you know, the Black and brown community. One thing I have to start dealing with, you know, I call it the elephant in the room, you know, so I have I have all different races on here. And I notice that sometimes when I'm bringing the other races on here, Hispanic, or Caucasian, or whatever they may be, I tend to leave out the killing Willie Lynch syndrome in the Black community. But I said I'm gonna start bringing that up because I want to bring it up because I want to also remind my brown brothers and my Caucasian brothers that they also can help, you know, remedy that. Like, do you support this? You know, so if you're taking anything from the culture, if you love the culture, then support the Black community, you know, the businesses and whatever you have. So yeah, I love the thing. So you guys, you know, on Monday, that's what's the hours again on Monday? Every Monday?
It's every Monday, Facebook Live, YouTube Live at 8:00 p.m. Pacific.
So y'all got something to do on Monday. So we got that. We got
time
that
to turn
out of
up. Okay. And what happens is, you know, you could comment, you know, type your comments. We address those comments because we're a community. I always have somebody on the show with me. I'm going to start doing recaps. People want to see more of me, not just once a week. So that's something that I'm thinking about too, you know. But Stuck in a Green Light is a portion of my company. It's called Forever Glitter Box. And Forever Glitter Box is about basically what you just said. With our community, right? It's not only the way we treat each other, but I have to say it's the way we carry ourselves too. Like, my mother always told me, don't go out the house like that. You represent me. And that's how we need to be with our culture. You know, so I sell accessories. Mm-hmm. You know, I sell accessories for men and women, you know, to stay fly, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, I have a catalog of my music, and then I do the Stuck at a Green Light, and it all be on Forever Glitter Box.
Okay, and that's FAEVERGLITTERBOX.com. ForeverGlitterBox.com. Y'all heard us slip into music, huh? We're going to get to the music. So
let's get it.
let's jump to the music. So I'm reading your bio and you were saying that, you know, apparently you do spoken word too, or poetry.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm an expressive person. I express my, you know, people always say, you know, you're outspoken, confrontational. You could call it what you want. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be, you know, outspoken with what, you know. So
we need outspoken people.
Yeah,
I want to know what's on your mind. Don't keep it in. Let's put the cards on the table.
Yes, it's important. And poetry is a very, you know, soothing and creative way to do it. You know, I use the things that I go through as a canvas, and I create, you know, these, you know, creative words and phrases and stuff, you know, that people can relate to, because it's definitely things that I go through personally. You know what I mean? So.
So how did that start? How did the poet, what started first? Did the poetry start first, the spoken word, or the rap? And what started, and how was you inspired to get into whichever one started first?
Okay, so the writing started first. I used to keep a journal when I was in my early teens. Okay, then my mom had met some women and became friends with them. They did opera. So they invited me to like a coffee shop to do a poem. And when I was doing the poem, it was a drummer who was doing the drumming behind me speaking. And people loved it. I loved it. And it was something that I just continued doing. I grew up in the complex, West LA, off of Adams and St. Andrews.
Okay.
Gang infested, a lot of homies, a lot of people, you know what I mean? One day they was rapping, you know, a couple of dudes that I know, they was rapping. And I was thinking like, you know what? I'm about to spit one of my poems. I ended up spitting one of my poems, and that was a rap. Mm-hmm. The homies wouldn't let me die down. I've been popping with music ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the opera ladies, I got back with them doing opera and production. Mm-hmm. And that's opera and rap.
Okay.
Or opera and rock, or opera and something other, you know, another genre.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You know what I'm saying? I became, you know, Thug Miss in the hood, you know. I was a very big Tupac fan. So I got that thug perception from Tupac. Like, I'm from the hood, I'm from the gutter, I go through things, right? Mm-hmm. The miss part is I'm educated. I chose to go to school. I'm a teacher. I demand respect. I'm a woman. I don't do that gang banging nothing. Like, you know what I mean? So Thug Miss was like a balance, but it was in the box.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, time went by. I had deals, lost them, did an album, just dirty, weird stuff. I don't want to just err on the situation, but it inspired me to change my name to Forever the Realist. Mm-hmm. I am a realist, not the realist, but the realist. I'm a realist, someone who just, you know, it is what it is. It's just the real, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And forever is legacy.
Wow.
Forever is legacy. Like what we're doing right now, whatever mm-hmm. we do, is always going to be here. Look at DMX. You mentioned Nipsey Hussle and millions, you know, so many more people. You know, when you walk on this earth, whatever you do, it could just be a mother, whatever, you're always going to be legendary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, a huge part of our program, the Rappers Over 30 podcast, is I got ongoing topics. And like I said, they are basically it's health, diet, health, and exercise. So with diet, health, and exercise, you know, I talk about it a lot about, you know, I'm a lot older than 30, but I got a lot of friends, some younger, some older, and they got some serious ailments. So my biggest thing is trying to tell us, you know, you're over 30, try to take care of yourself, less alcohol, less drugs, more exercise, more healthy eating and stuff like that. So what is, you know, what are you doing in regards to some of your health and diet and exercises? Are you actively doing anything, or are you just doing your normal routine? Or what's going on with you in that, if I'm not too imposing on that question?
Not at all. Not at all. Of course, it's very important to watch what you eat, to make sure you have your vegetables, your fruits, your water. But my thing is dehydration. You know, drink your water. And then, you know, I like to engage in my things, like, you know, wine. I went, you know, I don't really drink. I don't do a lot of stuff that I used to do. You know what I'm saying? So I went to, you know, the wine, but I do it when I have nothing else to do. Like when I'm done with my day, right? So my mom, you know, she has congestive heart failure. So together, you know, when it comes down to eating, it's very important to know that, you know, the salts, you know, is very, very dangerous and your food will be really bomb without it. You just have to substitute a lot. Mm. And my thing that I learned too with healthy eating is just flavoring. Like I love flavoring my greens, my cabbage and my, it just be tasting so good because I season it or have a sauce to make it right. Exercising now, I'm gonna just be real. Exercising is a hard thing for me to keep up with. But it's very vital and it's very necessary. So I had got with my neighbor and we started working out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's exhausting, but it feels great afterwards, right? So, and then it was a time too, going through life and situations where you kind of just like, dang, you kind of let yourself go a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? And when I saw that I was getting a little thick there, I'm like, okay, this is real. Like, I can't do it. It's very important. And then especially learning from my mom now, how important it is to keep yourself healthy at this age.
Because part of what I do is I tell people, if you, I'm, like I said, I'm older, so I go to bathroom a gang of times. Sometimes I see people, they say they don't do a number two or they don't do this for once a week. And I'd be like, yeah, I think something might be wrong, but.
Yeah, what, you got to get checked out.
Yeah, what I say is when you go to the bathroom, if you go to the bathroom a lot, then what I tell people is when you go there, like especially before you get dressed, if you're going to be in the house a while, every time you go in the bathroom, hold on that sink. I tell them if you got bad knees, do 10, 20 squats. Get down and do the push-up. If they girl push-ups or boy push-ups, whatever you got to do, do some toe touches. And I said, if you do that throughout the day, if you go to the bathroom 10 times a day, I don't know, that might seem like a lot to some people, but if you go to the bathroom 5 times a day and you did that, 20 of each, by the end of the day, you done 100 squats, 100 push-ups, 100. If you got on the floor and done some sit-ups, I just think that's a good thing. Then by the time you clean up, put your stuff on, I don't need to go to gym because I already worked out and maybe get a jump rope.
That's good. Yeah.
So that's what I recommend. Even in your bed, when you get up in the morning, you could do stuff in the bed. You can hold your feet up and act like you're riding a bike. You could do sit-ups. Speak to your physician first. Don't get hurt and be talking about, told me to do that. So check, be sure you're getting good enough help to do that. Now, you mentioned something I wanted to ask you because I cook and me and Dismos, I don't know if you heard the podcast. We was talking about this cooking thing. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned salt. You said an alternative. What's a good alternative for salt?
Powders. And Mrs. Something.
Mrs. Dash? Like Mrs. Yes. I haven't heard that before.
Okay. I had a moment.
And is it good? It's natural? So we got to look up some sort of
it
content.
Is. But, you use your onion powders, your garlic powder, your peppers, your dry herbs, like whatever. Like, it's all kind of little. If you really see, you shall find.
Okay.
There's juices. And I know that, unfortunately, in our community, there's Food for Less, Ralph's. But no, you need to go like to Sprouts and, places where, you're going to spend some money, but you spend money on stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. You have to invest in your food too. Right. Yeah. So, even eating out, even with the COVID going on, I know eating out is pretty scary. Because you don't know who's preparing your food. And I'm a spiritual person. And I don't know what type of energy that person got preparing my food. Mm-hmm. Like, what I'm saying? Because energies are very, very real. And sometimes you can eat something and wonder why your vibrations are low. Like, you don't know who prepared that food. You know what I mean? That's why people say, she made that with love. Like, you can tell. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And also, chopping up real vegetables, like, instead of like the dry onions or whatever, chop them onions up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Chop them flavors up in your stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing too. So yes. Sugar. No, alcohol is sugar. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is sugar, people. Bread is sugar. That's another thing to be mindful of. And everything is in moderation.
Okay. So when Forever's telling you, listeners, you got to chop up your food, that's just time. And sometimes we, if you plan, so planning is a good part of eating healthy too. I'm going to tell you my thing. I got grandkids, and that's when I skew up. When I go see my grandkids, because this is a different story, you know, what they may eat or what they may like to eat, or you just kind of step outside the box and be like, you know, okay, I'll get this for them. You know, because they're young. So, but the main thing that I got when you were saying that, when you're saying chopping up your stuff, is planning. If you guys just spend a bit of time planning. Another thing is, I don't use a microwave. I would say throughout the year, I might use a microwave 3 times during the whole year. So and the reason I say that is, I learned the lesson when my son was a little baby. You know, we young, me and my wife, we young and you know, we a little foolish. We didn't know no better. We was microwaving his milk in a baby bottle. And what happened was he ended up getting real, real sick. And it's, you know, he got sick and we didn't know what was going on. But when we took him to the doctor said, no, don't do that, because the microwave kills all of the vitamins and minerals in the food. So if you're zapping your food, you're killing the vitamins and minerals in your food. So stay away from that microwave too.
Not only that, but you're also tampering with the material that the food is in. So if it's a plastic bottle, that's the material. So the heat will eventually melt it, or the material will eventually break down into your food. Like when people, you know, warm up stuff on a styrofoam and all that, like, no, like that's death. No. But, you know, microwave safe plates, you know, stuff like that, even too, to think about. But you mentioned planning. When you say planning, it's like an anxiety that kind of creeps over a little bit, right? So I just want to give a quick tip, because planning is definitely, definitely great. However, when you get home from grocery shopping, you put everything away. Get some containers. They're everywhere. Different size containers. Put everything away except for your vegetables, fruits, or like, you know, your onions, your bell peppers. Leave those out. And I'm telling you, it is not that bad. Get your little, you know, cutting board. Chop, 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 chop. Put it in a container, boom. Put it in a refrigerator, chop, 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 boom. And then your stuff lasts way longer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like when it's time to cook, it's already in the refrigerator, done.
And
you just take it out and just.
I had, when the pandemic first started, when we went, you know how everybody's rushing to the market and we were seeing like the food, the paper towel, all of that. So I started gardening last year. So I would say too, if you got, trust me, it's not as hard as people think. If you got a backyard, and I live in the AV and it's like a desert, but what I learned was, my son had shown me this. You take the old, like whenever you got some old food, eggshells, lettuce, just any old scrap food. I don't really do no meat or nothing, but I'll put the mostly potato peels and carrot, you know, just stuff like that, and put it in the dirt, and this sand and turned to some good dirt. Last year I had greens, squash, string beans, tomatoes, watermelon.
Look at you.
Man, I had so much stuff. But it's emotional. You got to watch it, because when your plants die, you know, you get a little emotional about it. You know, I'm a sensitive guy, so I got emotional about when I had 14 watermelons die, and I grew them from seeds. And it could get a little emotional for you when you're
out there being a gardener. Because everything needs love to grow, right?
Yeah.
Everything needs love to grow. So, yeah, I could dig it. You're going to feel some type of way, you know, when something like that happens, right? But you just keep going. You just keep doing what you do. And it's funny you say that, because I'm a teacher, right? And our theme for the month is gardening. So that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
All right, now. Yeah.
And you know, the green onions, you could put them in water and grow them in your windowsill. You know, you could buy, when you buy them little dollar green onions, cut the bottom of them off, you could put them in some water and they grow so much. I got so many green onions, they still grow. Certain things grow, like at certain times of the year, it grows better. When it get colder, certain things grow better. So enough of this, dog. It's, you know, it's never enough health, but we done talked about the diet.
Yes, because I was about to say too, grilling, barbecuing your vegetables, mm-hmm. barbecuing fish. Mm-hmm. That is, it's bomb, y'all. Like the charcoal, you know, the char of the, my thing is flavor. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. And you can learn that from chewing some bubble gum. Okay. Because flavor is very important.
So where you from, or where your parents from? I'm sorry, as far as this cooking, since you're talking about cooking, what's y'all, what's your parents, like where they from and where'd you get your cooking influence? Is it Southern?
I got my cooking influence from working with children, okay. to be honest. Yeah.
Your mama gonna get you.
No. Let me say, my mom is from Virginia.
Okay.
Okay, so soul food galore. Mm-hmm. Okay, greens, ham, you know, my mom is a heavy cooker. But when it comes to flavoring, yes, my mom is the one. But I eat with the children every day, you know, and we're on this healthy program, and I've been working with children for like over 15 years.
What age group are you working with?
I work with preschool children.
Preschool, okay.
Yeah, ages 3 to 5, because I don't have time. For older.
You said
the mouths, the attitudes, I can't. Mm-hmm.
You know, people, this is some breaking news right here, but people don't know. But I actually taught before. I taught at a school called Lewis Metropolitan in Los Angeles, a private school on 54th and Western, I'm thinking. And I taught, I used to be a computer tech. So I had came up with a class called Computer Introductions. And I was teaching pretty much. They was older than preschool. I'm thinking they might have been like maybe first grade to maybe fourth or something, third or fourth. And I was teaching them about computers. I taught them how to type. And kids are really, really intelligent. If you get them on that right path, and they're good. So you got to keep them on that right path, because they can, sometimes the wrong path seems more fun. So you just got to keep them on the right path.
Well, the first 5 years is the molding stage. After that, that's a wrap. You know, the first 5 years, they're sponges. They're easy to mold. You know what I mean? They're easy to instill morals and things that they and respect and things that they should know, eating and, you know, all of that. But it's a because, you know, the first educator is at home, right? Your parents. So, yeah, children are just beyond wonderful, and they need to be protected, you know, and they need to be really taken care of. Okay. You know what I'm saying? And children will learn whatever you teach them.
You know, I heard, I haven't listened to your podcast. We literally just met yesterday, and we've been in contact. But I heard you and Dismos,
you know, coming through.
Yep. You and Dismos were saying you did a thing on mental health, and I got a daughter, and you know, yes. And she suffers from some mental health issues. And you know, I got a couple
of
definitely
check out that show on YouTube.
And it's so that's a serious situation in the community. And sometimes we don't recognize that. And now I want to just kind of step outside of that to these police and what's going on. Where we just had a white lady, she killed this black kid. I think he was 20 years old. And she says she mistaken her gun for her taser. And mind you, this is 10 miles away from, this is, I think it's in Minnesota. It's 10 miles away from where they're having the Chauvin, you know, for killing that brother. So it's right down the street from there. This lady kills this young man. He's a father, 20 years old. And she said she mistake her gun for her taser. But check this out. She's the one that teach everybody how you handle yourself in the field. So how does that happen? I mean, you know, that's crazy, huh? You're the teacher, and you make this type of mistake. What do you think about that? You know, things like
because,
that happen.
You know, everybody doesn't teach from the heart. Like, you know what I'm saying? Some people are just put in positions, you know, just because. Some people, you know, utilize their power in abusive ways. It just depends on your heart and what you're trying to do, you know, because there's even teachers that I've worked with that I'm like, why are you here? Mm-hmm. Like, you must be here just to collect a check. Like, you know, someone like her, like, ain't no telling what her internal issues are with people and why she does what she does, right? But when we see these things, it's definitely something to be aware of and to always, you know, people who have these titles. It's like you said, she's a teacher. There's a lot of police officers and stuff that's killing people left and right. You know what I mean? It just depends on the person. And like we were saying with mental illness, there's teachers I know, there's people in the industry I know, there is people all around who got these mental illnesses, mental issues that they don't speak up on, you know?
Let me ask you this, with when I first saw the, you know, I say this and I'm not ashamed to say it, but when I first saw the George Floyd video, I was right in this room, I was right looking at my computer, and I literally felt like a coward. I wasn't even there, but I felt like a coward because in my mind I was saying, what would I have done if I was there? So I got a question to my listeners and everybody, and let's see if we can find an answer for this, is when is it ever justified if a civilian, man, woman, or whatever, see the police doing something like that for the civilian to take action, and that action may cause for us to use deadly force? Is there ever a scenario like that? Is it a case? You know, because as a man, we're humans. We know right from wrong. So when you see something going down like that, can you step in, or do you got to sit there and watch somebody kill somebody because you're in fear that, you know, if I go in here half-stepping, they going to kill me? You know, and I'm not one to want to take nobody's life, but just to see that happen, I don't know what I would have done. I really don't know what I would have done. I know vocally I surely would have been, I honestly think I would have got him off of that. But I just felt so bad because I know so many people in a position that you just got to stand and watch that. And that's not right. You know, we humans and you know, we got a brain. We can see that. They're trying to flip the script and say it was something else now. But no, you're killing this man right in front of everybody. So do you know anything in regards to that? Like, is it ever a case when you can take, you know, the law on, when you could take them down? It's a gang of us. It's 20, 30 people watching this happen, and nobody said, let's rush them and just, you know, handcuff them or hold them down until we get this straight, or they gonna kill this man.
Okay, well, it's two ways with this, because I don't trust the media. I don't trust what they put on the television. I don't trust what they put on the internet. Okay, because everything is monetized, everything is monitored, and only certain things are put out for an agenda reason. You know, us, the Black community, you know, we're very emotional when it comes down to these things, and it causes us to get, we lose focus on what the real issue is. I really love the Book of Eli. And there is a scene that I always think about when I can't help somebody. It was a scene, you know, if anybody ever seen the Book of Eli, you know, with Denzel Washington, it's a scene where, you know, he's walking along a path and it's this lady, she's about to get raped by two dudes. He has all the tools to save her. He can do it. But he bent down and he prayed. And he said, Lord, you know, I ask that you watch over this woman and what's going on, but this is not my journey. This is not my path. So I have to keep going on my path. It sounds really cold, but we can't save the world. Like you said, if somebody was to step up and have done something, there would have been two deaths that day, right? Mm-hmm. Or it would have been one death and somebody's going to jail and now their life is ruined. Mm-hmm. We got to think about these things, you know what I'm saying, in these situations. But with the George Floyd thing, there were a lot of things that I saw that I didn't understand. Like, for instance, when the ambulance came and there was no ambulance in the ambulance, it was more police in the ambulance. Like, you guys could do your research and look at the details of everything. And what I don't like is the filming. I mean, I know you have to get it, but that bothers me. You know what I mean? Because me seeing something like that, I would have been so infuriated to where you would have seen my phone like, hey, whatever, you know, that's messed up something. To me, the people that was around was too calm.
Yeah.
And it makes me question. We have Hollywood, right? Hollywood, oh my goodness, you don't know what is what. And I'm going to just leave it at that, because it's a very, very, very touchy topic when people don't believe what they see. But everything that you see, you shouldn't believe, especially on the news, on social media. They call it an idiot box for a reason. It's a program. A program is to program people. How do we program people from what they see? Like senses, what they see, what they hear, what they feel. That's how you program people. And so I don't trust the government in that sense. Like, I feel like, ugh, like they're the enemies. They are, because they keep putting this content out, because people keep get killed every day. Mm-hmm. This stuff happens every day, but they pick a story. They pick something to cause an uproar with the community. And then what happens? You have riots, you have protesting, you have the martial law coming in, you got them being able to do this and that now. And if you look at the difference of the Capitol, when all them white people raided the Capitol and stuff, and then the Black Lives Matter, that should tell you enough.
Okay. Okay, yeah. We'll step off them current events. We'll step off of that. So you mentioned
but
a film.
It was a good thing.
You mentioned a film, and I'm reading your bio, and I see you have some experience in a film, and not only that, your grandfather was a legendary actor.
Yes.
And you want to tell us a little bit about your grandfather, because he scared the daylights out of me when I was a kid.
My grandfather, speaking of health. Mm-hmm. My grandfather taught me about health, like for real, eating, you know, vegetables, fruits. He always tried to make me eat bananas and stuff like that. My grandfather was that typical, you know, he had his big old house and his horses and swimming pool through the house. He had it all, like, you know what I mean? He was very family oriented. That's why my family is so tight knit. He was very family oriented. He'd been through a lot. Okay, being an actor, he was actually banned out of America. Okay, wow. Not only was he in Black, well, first of all, my grandfather's name is William Horace Marshall. You know, Blackula was a Black exploitation, you know, film that was big, you know what I mean? And not only did he do that, he also did, you know, Bonzetta. He did, he was the king of Pee Wee Herman's Castle. He played in Star Trek. You know, and luckily, you know, I got all his stuff. Like, I got the Blackula cape. I got his NAACP awards, his dolls and stuff. He got dolls. He got everything. So, yeah, you know, it's an honor, you know, and I'm his only grandchild.
Okay.
Only grandchild. So.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking. I have a friend, and he lives in Pacoima. Well, he's from Pacoima, and he lives out here now. But I remember just sitting here thinking, that guy, your grandfather, was his someone he went to school with. I guess was his son or something. Because I remember him saying something about the guy who played Blacker. He lived in their community, and he was telling me a story about him. He's like, yeah,
in the Pacoima area.
Yeah, he was in Pacoima, and he was like, he was. I don't know if it was his friend or somebody they went to school with. And your grandfather may have been their father, or I don't know if it was one of his grandchilds or who, but this guy's a little bit older than me. But he was telling me about...
Was it a Black guy or a white guy? Because, you know...
It's a Black guy. His name is Ted. He's a big guy. He was like...
I'm talking about the person that, you know, is in relation to my grandfather. You know?
I'm not sure. He just told me it was his friend. They were football players, because my friend was like a big... football player, and he was telling me a story about I don't know what school is in Pacoima somewhere, but they played a white football team, and he said his team hadn't lost a game all year. Like now this is football we're talking about. So he said when they went to school in Pacoima, that whatever school he went to, they didn't lose a football game the whole year. So it's the end of the year, they're playing that final championship game, and he said slowly but surely they was playing a white high school. They start telling his team, you guys are hitting too hard, and they start pulling the players out for hitting too hard. I ain't never heard no shit like, excuse my language, I've never heard.
Me neither.
How do you hit too hard in football?
Playing football.
They lost. They hadn't lost a game.
I looked at Waterboy. That's what he was supposed to do.
I said, that should be a movie. I told him, I said, that got to be a movie, man. How do you hit? And that was the only game they lost. They pulled all of their players out, all of the good players out, and they end up losing the game. Pulled them out for hitting.
Small world.
Can you imagine boxing? You're in there boxing, and they say, hey, man, you know, you're hitting too hard. We're going to take another point from you, you know. So, okay,
crazy.
So you also starred in a film or had a role in a film. Can you tell us about
that? I had a role in a film called Death by Association. It's, you know, J.T. Thompson and Ruben. They were the ones who were, you know, directing and everything. And I was casted by Shantae Gibson. And my friend Lala, you know, was like, hey, you rap. You know, why don't you go ahead and do the... what is it called? The interview?
The screen test or something?
You know, yeah, that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, for sure. And yeah, I was casted as like the main character's girlfriend.
Okay, Death by Association, y'all. Y'all
love Death by Association. I played a gangbanger. It was funny because I had to study gangbangers again. And I was like, well, you know what? Because I was from the opposite hood. I live in the opposite hood than the role that I was playing, if you feel
okay.
And I was like, oh, just change the colors and act the same way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that was a cool experience. That was real dope. Yep.
Death so by you got the music, you got your podcast.
Podcast is popping.
And now let's talk about this music, because I was damn music. Light. Give me the money. Give me the money. Break it down to me. Break it down. Give me the money. Break down the song for me. How, you know, when did you do this song? And, you know, tell us a little bit about the song, the producers, the writing, any memorable moments writing a song, any inspirations, anything like that?
Well, how can I say this? Give Me the Money is a song that I did when I was like, I was younger when I initially did the song. Is on my first album, Hood Notes. Mm-hmm. What happened with that album is I didn't really like the sound, so I never did nothing with the album. But when I went out to perform and stuff, I will always perform Give Me the Money. Give Me the Money is produced by CO. He is a producer that be producing my stuff back in the day and now. The song was a hit to the people in LA. I'm telling you, like, the people was feeling the song. Mm-hmm. It got me in the movie. It got me with Rick Hart. It got me doing a lot of stuff. With Dismos, you know what I'm saying? They really was loving it. Mm-hmm. So here it is, like, almost 10 years later. And I'm like, you know what? I never did nothing with that album. There is this one song. It's actually three songs, but I'm not even messing with those other two yet. But this one song, I got to do again. So then I went to Atlanta recently. This was last year. I went to Atlanta. My cousin do beats, okay? Drew, ATM Beats. But he do beats and he played that beat. And I'm like, oh, you know, I played around with it with the song and it was just, that was it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let's do it. Let's do it. And this version, talk about growing older. I'm going to tell you guys something. When you get older, wow, you can come back out with whatever you did. It doesn't matter. Don't let nobody hate. Don't let nobody tell you no different, because you can. You know, people remix, revise. Why can't you remix your own stuff? You feel me? So, yeah, that's basically Give Me the Money. And the beat was the bomb, you know, and boom, that's what it was. Yeah. And that's also, see, the thing is now I am an artist. I like to do music. I like to create music as an artist, but a performer, someone who's trying to be out there, I kind of like lost the love and the drive for that. And now I want to write for artists. So I need a catalog. So that's why I'm working on my 6-song EP and the 6 videos, because content is very important. Before I could write a song for anybody, big, small, doesn't matter, they have to see what I got. Mm-hmm. And so that is what I'm working on now. So Give Me the Money is a part of that 6-song EP.
Okay, well, we've gone right into one of the other topics is music business. So with the music business, as far as, so you're talking about ghostwriting. So mm-hmm. when you write these songs, are these songs you're writing these, are you going to shop these songs, or are you just putting these out so people can say, okay, here's an example of what she does.
Here's an example. And just like a clothing mm-hmm. line or whatever, if somebody liked the song, they can have it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? I'm the creator. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like a sample of this is what I can do. And then I write or do something, you know?
Do something.
And I've been pretty different. Successful. And I also got someone who want me to write something for them too. Yeah, and I do, like a part of, that's also a part of Forever Glitterbox. That's what it is, the catalog. The music catalog is on my website. Mm-hmm. And based on the artist, there's two packets. So like one packet, you pay me like $250, and then I get like 15 royalty or whatever. The other packet is like you pay more, you pay probably like $1,000 or $500 or whatever, and then I get like less royalties, but I'm always going to get my royalties.
Okay, so you already up on the publishing and the copyright.
Yes, I'm an ASCAP member. Yes, I'm ASCAP.
Oh my God,
ASCAP,
I'm so proud.
All day.
I'm so proud of my sisters. My sisters are not slipping out here. My sisters are not slipping. They on their top of their
game.
And
then we're in the era of technology. I got all my masters. Regardless of anything, try it, right? So it's like, yeah, that's what it's about, you know? And a lot of people, you know, is feeling the artist part of me, but, you know, and as they should, but I'm not trying to be the one. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be the performer, the one that's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I like to make my music. I like to do my content. If anybody is interested in me writing them a song, making them a hit, holla at me.
And they can, you know. And what's that website again? You want to hit them up with the website again?
Yes. And here is the shirt. This is my logo. I don't know if you guys could see it like that, but this is the logo. It's Forever Glitter Box, and it got like microphones, music notes of jewelry inside. And then you always look at your reflection, always, you know, reflect on self. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the website is foreverglitterbox.com, F-A-E-V-E-R, glitterbox.com, all together. Platform okay. for expression and creativity.
Okay, I want to double back to the movie because you mentioned Rick Hart in the movie. Which movie are you in that Rick Hart done?
Rick Hart, we never done a movie, mm-hmm. But I promoted the movie that he... you know, he created. It's called 7th and Westlake, Nino's Revenge. Mm-hmm. He asked me, like, I want to say, he asked me like over 3 times to come to a scene, you know, but at that time I was stuck at a green light. I was going through a lot. I was done. I was going through a lot. I was going through a lot and I just couldn't do it. But the movie is fire. The movie is fire. I had the pleasure to go to the premiere, mm-hmm. You know, and I know a few people from the movie, you know, we all did music together. So it's definitely something to be celebrated. I'm super proud of Rick Hart. The movie is on Amazon and Tubi. And it's dope. You know what I'm saying? It's super creative. It's super creative. I had got him on my show and it was very funny because I like to play jokes with people and stuff. And he's like, dang, have you seen the movie? I'm like, yeah, but you know what? I want you to talk about the movie. You know what I mean? I want you to talk about it like I've never seen it. You know? So that's what it is. But me and Rick Hart did do a video together. We did a song together and a video together. It's on YouTube and it's called Players In.
Players In?
Yes.
Okay.
Players In.
Okay. So let me say this. I just watched it today. I just watched it actually maybe less than an hour before I got on here with you, and I thought it was really interesting. I was really laughing so hard when he was vacuuming the beach up. He's like, I'm not gonna be able to get all of this up. So I thought it was funny, and the biggest thing I get out of that is I love the fact as an aspiring filmmaker, I've done a documentary. I've done 4 episodes of something else. I got another partial film done. I'm working on a film called Evil Justice right now. And so I understand how hard that is. And that's why I put on your, that's why I posted when y'all was doing the thing yesterday. I hats off because I understand how hard that is to get that amount of people together on the same accord, on the same page. Because a lot of times you can get them, but can you complete the mission? A lot of people will come on board, and somewhere along the line in between start and finish, a lot of people walk away. And if they're critical to what you're doing, then it could set you back. So shout out to Rick Hard. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, y'all be sure to go to Amazon Prime, Tubi, and search for 7th and Westlake, Nino's Revenge. You got a lot of people on. You got Rick Hard on there. You got, God dang, they got a ton of people on there.
So, Wisdom, so many. Fasso.
Lord G is on there. Man, I've seen a gang of people. Now,
it's
you know,
a lot of people, y'all. So if you didn't hear your name, you know you matter.
Okay. So how does it feel, you know, as opposed to you've been typically interviewing people and now I'm interviewing you. Is it do it seem like a big difference or what does it seem like?
It's chill. I feel chill. I feel relaxed. I feel, you know, because it's pressure when you're doing these interviews. I'm a Virgo, so I'm kind of like a perfectionist. And any little mistake that I be making, it really lingers. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and sometimes we get sidetracked. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, you know, the interview that I had with Rick Hard. I was going to, you know, I heard him say something about lack of drugs, right? Mm-hmm. But then something happened with his screen later on, but I was going to switch it up on him and be like, oh, but it's all about drugs. The show was addiction, right? But in the movie, that's not all you see. You don't see people just doing drugs. You actually had educated people on that thing trying to figure out what is this drug that's causing this effect on, you know, the African-American community. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I didn't get to do that. So it made it seem like, what? Like, it was just weird when I looked at it, but those are the things that I think about. And it really messes with me. Like, you know, it's a lot of pressure for me because I want it to be right. Mm-hmm. And when it doesn't go right, that's the only downfall for me is it really affects me. Mm-hmm. Like, dang, I messed up. I was supposed to say, you know, it just is what it is. But you know, the interview was still bomb, still great, but still, it's like, dang, you know? So that's why I was like, okay, well, then I'm going to start doing recap shows. You know, it's my show, so I'm going to be able to play a clip of my show and dive deeper into it and say things that I was, you know, you know, points that you come up with after, you know, when you have an argument with somebody or something, you're like, dang, I should have said this. So I want to do recap shows, just me discussing what I did with those individuals. So that's coming soon. All the people that's been on Stuck at a Green Light, I'm going to start from the beginning. And I might do this probably, because I do Stuck at a Green, I might do it on Wednesdays.
The recap.
Probably Wednesdays or Thursdays. But I'm going to start doing that probably in May.
So if this won't get you into any trouble, what's been your most favorite show on Stuck at a Green Light and why? Like, what's been your most funniest favorite, just for whatever reason? If which one stood out the most, or that you, if you just say, you know what, that was really a really dope show. Which one do you think?
It's all of them.
All right. She took the safety net, y'all. I heard that.
I mean, I'm about to be stupid, honest. The one that I can say is that I really admire is the escape plan with Dismos. And I'm not just saying it because it's Dismos. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it because the content of the interview was so vital when it comes down to gangbanging. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were scared to touch that topic, but we killed it. Mm-hmm. We did it. You know, I have a son, my brother. I lost so many homeboys to gangbanging, You know what I'm saying? A lot of our beautiful melanated brothers and sisters is, you know, incarcerated, lost their lives, gone on drugs. Like, gangbanging is something that, ooh, I just can't stand it. Mm-hmm. So the way that we executed the whole message was just superb.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful to know. So, yeah, I had mentioned on you guys' podcast, like, when I was talking about when I moved from L.A. to the A.V. that, you know, it was maybe a week before I left. My friend, a guy I knew, got killed. I had just talked to him like 30 minutes before. And when I left, you know, I got a call when I got to my desk. And they said, hey, man, a truck just drove up and lit him up and a guy he was talking to killed him. So that had made 14 people in one square block I knew that had got murdered. You know, and I grew up over there.
That's by King. So crazy.
I'm talking about really, this is, you know, and I came up, I'm a little bit older than you guys. And I grew up like in the early 80s. I was in like high school. So It was like really, really the gangbanging and all of that was serious. It was really, really bad. And
yeah, I don't get it.
I moved from there in 90 something, I think it was. It could have been early. I know I've been here about 20 years. So I moved sometime about maybe 2000, 2001. So I moved then. But up until that point, that was how many people. And I'm talking about one square block. I'm not talking about all of LA. I'm just talking about my one square block that I could walk around. I knew 14 people that got murdered. And I used to say,
That's crazy.
Where's the war really at? I used to say that, like, where's the war really at? You know, but, you know, I used to be young and wild. I never joined a gang. I'm originally from New York. I lived in Baltimore and I lived in L.A. And I've never, ever in my life joined a gang. And it was gangs. It wasn't that many gangs in Baltimore, but we had a couple of very small gangs. Now there are gangs everywhere. But New York had gangs. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, really not too many gangs. And, you know, L.A. was gang infested. So,
You know, it's no regard for human life. Like, how do you do that? How do you do that? Like, how do you do that? How do you take away somebody's life over the color that they got on or the area that they live in? Like, it's sad. Like, that's something that people need to protest. So when these George Floyds come up on the screen, that's what I'm saying. That's what Stuck at a Green Light is about. I'm so tired of us, like, for real, pointing fingers and blaming and want to act all angry when that, no.
We killing each other.
Look at our culture in the mirror, though. Like, we need to be protesting gangbanging.
Yeah, we killing each other.
I said it. Mm. Yeah, we do. Because in the initial, when gangbanging first came to play, well, from my knowledge of what I know, it was supposed to be a community thing, like a brotherhood or something, right? That was supposed to be helping the community. Yeah,
Crips, actually, I can't think of it right now. It was actually an acronym for something positive, you know?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It was on some, you know,
it's always a strategy. And the thing is, one thing that we got to do is, once again, if you go back to some of my podcasts, on one of the podcasts, I said, if you know somebody, you really know them, you know they got a good heart. You know they're a good person. You know they're thorough. You can't let somebody come and say, hey, you know, M is ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, and believe it. And you fall for the okie-doke. So that's where a lot of our weakness lies at. It's in you got to, when you know somebody, you got to know them, and the trust is gone. And they call that the Willie Lynch. He destroyed us having trust in each other. You can know him. This man.
But people want to trust the government. I don't get it.
Yeah. You trust them, but you let somebody come and say something to you about someone who you know is. So you got to stop those people. When somebody came and said something about maybe Nipsey Hussle, you know, maybe we could have prevented that tragedy. You know, so when these people are talking bad about good people, great people, don't, you know, shut them down, because that's the type of people that's causing chaos. You know, shut them down. Yeah. You know, so okay, so we got your music. We know you. We talked about your grandfather. You got the music. What about other things? Is staying relevant, and I know that means something different to everybody, because you know, one person's relevant might mean something to someone else. To me, when I talk about it on my podcast, when I say it, I say it from the perspective of, I have some homeboys, and some people may even consider me like this, that still sound like 1982 or something, and they don't even want to rap over like a new beat. Like they'll be like, man, I ain't never rapping over no trap beat, or I ain't never doing this or doing that. And I just think music is music. So it's just a lot of different things that I think we can do to step outside the box of sounding like it's still 1982, or trying to, you know, even if it's just being innovative and creating a new style. When we first got on here, you said, well, before, this was pre-interview, and you mentioned the AB, the simple AB pattern. And I like that when you said that, you know, so that's even something in itself. Changing your rhyme flow, doing something different. What do you think people can do to stay relevant? And is that a concern to you? And is it something that you've question and said, you know what, let me try to step outside the box and do something different. So what do you think people can do, rappers over 30 can do to stay relevant as far as in a more commercial sense?
Test the waters on different beats. Like for instance, Material World is like a pop song, but you know, I like, my music is just ranges. I got rock and roll, I got, you know, pop, I got slow. I love playing with beats. I love it. I love doing new things and really challenging myself. That's how you stay relevant, you know what I'm saying? And doing you. Stop looking at other people. Do you and what you feel you should do when you're vibing with the song. Like, the track tells me what to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So whatever the track tells me to do, I do it. Like, I can't sing, but I harmonize. Like, you know, I have songs where I'm doing that too. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but everything under the sun is not new, right? So it's like, eventually, like some bell bottoms, you know, that sound is going to come back around, because I don't know what's going on in hip hop today. Mm-hmm. I don't. However, I do feel a sense of like the 90s feel, 80s, I feel it coming back. And like when somebody, you know, whoever comes back out with it, it's gonna be great. Cause I don't know where music went to now. So those people who do feel like they don't wanna get off that old school sound, let them be. Because it's gonna be a time when that's gonna come right back around and you're gonna be like, dang. Just like I said, with my example, would Give Me the Money. You know what I'm saying? Give Me the Money is one of those songs that will never be played out. Like the content, what I'm saying in the song, right? So if people are stuck, just try to stay current with the lyrics. You know, what's going on today, the lingo for today, like, you know, just staying on top of the trend, but still doing your own thing in your own lane. Like, to me, yes, there is a format, you know what I'm saying? But who says that? Mm-hmm. Who says I got to do a chorus, verse, chorus? Who said I got to do that? I could do a chorus, chorus, verse, verse.
Yeah, you got the freedom now.
That's why I love E-40. Oh, E-40 is that one, okay? I love E-40. And I'm also a Bay Area girl too. I'm from LA, but I'm from LA and the Bay. Oh. For real, I grew up in both. Mm-hmm. And E-40 is someone who does that.
Okay, so what can we expect? What can the Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners expect from Forever? What you got in store musically coming up? Any videos, any new albums, EPs? What you got going on? When can they expect it?
Oh, yes. Well, everything is going down. I'm going to say everything is to be expected around June, July, you know, the summertime when it starts to get popping. Right now, I'm going to be shooting a documentary up to a video. It's like the documentary up to me shooting the actual video. I'm going to be doing that May 1st. And I'm very excited about that. I'm, like I said, I got my 6-song EP. It's not even titled. It's a catalog. So it's a 6-song EP, Forever, you know, Forever the Realest catalog. Booyah. And it's going to be 6 songs and it's going to be 6 videos. And one of them songs, which is Care Less, is produced by 1500 or Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And 1500 or Nothing is the same producers, the same company that did Victory Lap, Booed Up, Timberland, I mean, Jay-Z. They have worked with so many different people, and it is a definite honor to have a song from 1500. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to my boy, Lawrence Dobson. What's going on in the zone? And true, that's what it is. Just more content, right? More stuck in the green lights and more jewelry. Hey, you know, because we got to carry ourselves like queens and kings that we are. You know, and so the accessories is a way to enhance that about your confidence and about yourself. You know what I mean? So, yes, I'm ready to just, you know, just get it done, get it popping. I can't wait to collab with different artists as far as not even music, just businesses, what we do. When I was younger, I wanted to be that artist. I wanted to travel. I wanted to be the one on stage. But I've been through a lot when it come down to the music industry to where, you know, I'd no longer have that desire. But I'm gonna always have the desire to be in the industry and to be for the people and to do what I love to do.
Okay. All right, we're gonna get ready to wrap it up. But before we do, I got a couple of bonus questions for you. What is Forever's favorite food?
Oh my God. Hot links. Don't, I know we just talked about health.
Links out of everything in the world. What brand? We got to go get some of these. Where they at? What's the brand?
It don't matter what brand. Farmer, it don't matter. It don't matter.
So that's your favorite.
Hot links.
If somebody say, you know what?
I love chicken hot links though.
Chicken hot links. Do you get them on, you know, it used to be a spot on Jefferson I used to get some chicken hot links from. I'm trying to remember the name. And they also sell them at that, well, are they hot links?
I think Phillips.
No.
Phillips is on Adams.
And you know that place on Weston, they used to kill them chicken. You can go get like a live chicken. They sell them in there too. It's by Fauché on Weston and Exposition.
Like Weston and Exposition?
Yeah, it's a chicken. You'll see the big chicken on the thing, but you can go in there and pick live chickens and they're... That's
crazy. I grew up in this neighborhood and didn't pay no attention.
It's right there, so right? I grew up. I'm from over there.
Yeah, right.
It's Fauché is the you know the
yeah, it's right there,
Right on the other side of where it's a blue place. I don't know. I ain't been in LA in a while.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, but I've never been in there to know that they actually, you know.
Yeah, they got some good chicken. I know they got some good chicken sauce. I don't know if they will be considered hot links, and they do some hot.
You have to check it out.
So hot links, that's a new one.
It is. I hate it, y'all, but it's true. Especially, don't put no hot links on the grill and have them a little burnt. I'm killing it, and I don't eat it with the bread. I do not eat hot links with the bread.
That's a regular. You put barbecue sauce or something on it?
Hey, whatever.
Yes, a hot,
I like it plain. I like it with barbecue sauce, ranch, seasonings, all kind of stuff. It's crazy, but yes.
Okay, so next question. If you had an all-expense paid trip anywhere in the world, where would Forever go at for 30 days? I just want to chill. I just want to have fun. Whatever you want to do, you want to go there. Where would you go in the world? Where would you be your... What's the place you want to go in the world?
Jamaica.
Jamaica?
Hot Jamaica.
Okay.
Jamaica, be around, you know, the melanated and just the whole lifestyle. I would love to do that. One of my bucket list places I'm going to in May, I'm going to Hawaii. Okay. So I'm excited about that. But Jamaica.
Okay, and Hawaii is a little closer than Jamaica. Ain't that pretty close to California, Hawaii? That's not too far from California.
Yeah,
right?
It's still a part of America. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, you ain't gotta go too far. So Jamaica. Do you eat Jamaican food?
Not a lot.
They got kind of
no Jamaican people. Mm-hmm. But I like curry, you know, the curry stuff and
I made curry for my
Their food is very flavorful.
Celebrity feature on one of your songs. Who would it be?
Ooh, any who would genre. It be?
Well, give me a rapper. Give me a rapper. Give me two. Give me a rapper and then give me somebody in R&B. So who would it be? Who would these
Kendrick people? Lamar and Mary J. Blige, hands down.
Kendrick and Mary J. Blige. Wow. And what would that song sound like? What would you guys do? Oh, what would you a Kendrick God. Song be? Would it be political? What would it be? Would it be social?
It would be about relationships.
Okay.
You know, I would definitely want to do a song with them about betrayal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mary.
In a relationship right on that. Both of them. Ooh, especially Mary. Oh, she would kill it. Mm-hmm. She would kill it. And, you know, unfortunately, dang, I don't know why, though, but, you know, relationships are very challenging. Mm-hmm. Very challenging. So salute to all you, you know, couples out there that is making it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's challenging. It's very challenging.
Yeah, it definitely is. And in the business, that makes it even more so, you know, because insecurity, whether justified or unjustified, is a big part of you know, trying to do anything in the entertainment field.
And I've been through that. Oh, horribly. Jealousy, it should be a sin. Mm-hmm. I've been through that, having a man that it just look at you like she thinks she all that, like she know all these celebrities and she, you know, always got merch from somewhere or doing this and just said, I went through that. That was my stuck at a green light situation. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even want to go into it, but it was scandalous. Like, you know what I'm saying? To where things get really, I don't even know how to put it, but things get really creepy when you're in a relationship with someone who is jealous of you as a star or someone who desires to be in the public eye. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it reminds me of Selena.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Selena got killed by her, you know, close friend. It's like, it's just like that in relationships with dudes. And that's why at this age, like I ain't even tripping off of relationships. I honestly, like, I like to protect my peace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want nobody coming into my life trying to control it. I need a partner, someone who's gonna compliment me in what I do, mm-hmm. not control me. Oh, you wearing that? Oh, you with all these? Hey, go back to your life, because I was doing just fine.
Yes,
all right now.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I've been through too much to go through some BS. Nah, you live and you learn, honey. You got to learn. And I'm happy to say that, you know, I am the age that I am, and I'm learning, because don't wait to get to 60. Hmm. Don't wait to get to 65. Don't wait to get to 70 to really realize your value and your worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, I even known somebody who's been in an abusive relationship for, and my auntie was just telling me about this, for 40 years. 40 years? I don't know. That is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Forever Glitter Box came out December 1st, 2020. Stuck at a Green Light came out February 1st. 2021, and then my EP videos made, you know what I'm saying? Thank you so much. This was very dope. And I love the healthy foods and the assassinating of the Willie Lynch.
Yeah, we got to do it. And anything I can do to support, you guys, every Monday, be sure to check out her podcast. Be sure to go to Forever Glitter Box, and that's FAEVERGLITTER box.com, and it'll be in the show notes. And well, it's been wonderful. I look forward to doing some business with you. Hopefully we can do a song one day.
Hey, I am so looking forward to that. I'm always ready to do some music.
Okay.
You know what I said? That's the thing. It's just, you know, woo, that artist part.
This is my little studio.
I've
been doing more podcasts and filming than making music. I got in here yesterday. I don't know if you've ever done this, where you spend a lot of time. I don't even know how quick you write, but I spend a lot of time working on this song last night and don't like it. So I was like, it just seemed it's not relatable enough. I think I did something that, like, I'm like, well, who can even relate to that? So I
think you spend too much time.
Yeah, I'm gonna go rewrite. I mean, well, I kind of older. I don't write as quick as I do used to. And I guess I'm so critical about stuff, you know. My son told me to just freestyle. He said, "Dad, you sound better when you freestyle. Just freestyle." That's how he did. He did, like, I guess Lil Wayne and Jay-Z and them. They say they don't write. My son would do that. He would walk around, and I don't know how the hell they do that, you know. But they just freestyle.
You know what? I'm a perfectionist. I can do it. You know what I'm saying? I can get in the booth and rap something real quick to something. Mm-hmm. But my thing with doing that, it's not your full potential. That's something for fun. But when you're recording a song, oh, no. Like, it has to be, everything has to make sense, clear. You know, what are you doing? I mean, it's more organized. So, you know, a tip that I can give you is always keep your phone recorder by your side. Mm-hmm. Keep that phone recorder by your side, because if you know, when we freestyle, we be in the zone. Mm-hmm. And then when you record yourself freestyling later on, a couple of days later, you know, listen to it again, and then boom, write it out, write it better, like, you know, write, put, oh, this will sound better, you know. That's a faster way for me. Ooh, my desk just shaking. Yeah, it's
I got a couple of more questions. I had forgot two things. You just brought something to my attention. So mm-hmm. You actually freestyle, like, off the top of the head too?
Don't, like, do that.
Huh?
Don't,
I'm asking,
do that. Because I'm not ready.
No, I don't, yeah. I'm not gonna ask you to freestyle. I was just asking you, do you do it?
Yes, I can freestyle.
Okay. And then the other thing you had mentioned earlier about, I think you said a cafe and they was playing a drum. What cafe was that? Do you remember?
Ooh, what? Wow, it was on Fairfax. I remember that. That's right. I remember it being on Fairfax.
Okay. All right. I thought it might have been like the Good Life or something that we used to have on Crenshaw and Exposition. You ever frequent that spot back in the days?
Nah.
Yeah, we used to go to those spots. So, okay. Well, Forever, it was great. Love meeting you. Want to stay in contact, want to network, want to cross promote, support each other's businesses, and look forward to doing a song with you one day. So, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Let's stay in contact. You guys, don't forget, Monday, 8 p.m., log on.
I got to say this. Another thing, too, you know, I'm a female, right? And I always like, oh, my God, I'm getting old. Like, I'm getting old. And I love when you be like, oh, if you ain't over 30, I'm, you know, you know, that's a wrap. So it's like, yes, like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, I'm telling you, your mind has so much power. What you believe is what you perceive. And then what you perceive is going to be that reality. So when I was thinking I was old, I was like, oh, you know, just stop doing it.
When you think you old, what you going to think 10 years from now? What
See?
You think 20 years?
Yes, because I thought I was old. Like,
you got a long way to go. Everybody, all you rappers over 30, you got, trust me, I'm way over 30.
Yes.
You got a long way to go. You got a whole lot of flow.
Thank you.
And it's a whole lot of dough. Let's get it.
Yes. Oh.
And
yes,
stay healthy while you're doing it. So, okay, well, let's wrap it up. I'm about to bang some of your music. Take care.
Let's do it.
I'm about to jam the music. So I'll see you later, all right?
For sure.
Stay locked
Bye
in.
Take you.
Care. Bye-bye. Bye. Peace.
Peace and take care.
Yes.
All right, Neil.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Rappers Over 30 podcast. Go to the show notes for more information and links on Forever the Realist. Don't forget to visit her website, www.faeverglitterbox.com. That's foreverglitterbox.com. As always, it's been a pleasure. I wish you all the best of health, happiness, and success. See you next week. We are only as strong as we are united, and as weak as we are divided. J.K. Rowling.